Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 11, 2014, or the 6th, 13, 2018. We will start our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled, The Kingdom is Coming. From all the dark places of earth, healing races, oh, see how the thick shadows fly. The voice of salvation awakes every nation, come over and help us, they cry. The kingdom is coming, I'll tell you the story, Yah's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of His knowledge and glory, as waters cover the sea. The sunlight is glancing, our armies advancing, to conquer the kingdoms of sin. Our Yah shall possess them, His presence shall bless them, His beauty shall enter them in. The kingdom is coming, I'll tell you the story, Yah's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of His knowledge and glory, as waters that cover the sea. The shouting and singing and jubilant ringing, their arms rebellion cast down. At last every nation, the Yah's salvation, their King and Redeemer shall crown. The kingdom is coming, I'll tell you the story, Yah's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of the knowledge and glory, as waters that cover the sea. Hello everyone, once again it's Elijah David. We're going to continue on our series now with The House of God by Brother W. Johnson. This would be part two. And we're going to go to page 7. We're going to skip over a couple of items here. He went into the feast, the Yahweh's Holy Sabbath feast, and then he called it the seasonal feast of God's house on page 4. The other one's on page 3. We're going to skip all the way over to page 7 with a subtitle, The Church of the Living God. And we got some new stuff we want to show here, and our subtitle, so it's going to be, In Isaac Shall Thy Seed Be Called. Matter of fact, I'm going to do a series on this everlasting covenant and show you the predestinated bloodline of our forefathers that are called Israelites indeed today as descendants of these bloodline. And more preferably Isaac is your typical point here. In Romans 9:7 it says, Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children, but in Isaac shall seed be called. Okay. Now we know Esau was a twin brother to Jacob. Isaac's the Hebrew father. Esau was born from a Hebrew father, but Esau is not an Israelite. Jacob, his younger brother, born second, is the Israelite, Hebrew Israelite. Esau was a Hebrew Edomite. There's a difference now, folks. And so, keep that in mind. Now, So we're going to now go to Psalms, where we're going to deal with Psalms chapter 105. We're going to read, start the first verse. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Yahweh. Seek the Yahweh and His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Yahweh our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. The earth in prophecy is the United States, and that's where the judgments start. You go to Jeremiah 23 for that judgment starting here in the United States, in the earth. Here is David saying the same thing. Psalm 105, verse 7, He is the Yahweh or Elohim, His judgments are in all the earth. Verse 8, Psalm 105, He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations. Verse 9, which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac. Verse 10, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying, verse 11, it's saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, He reproved kings for their sakes. Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Now, I'm going to go into this track now. Brother Johnson, page 7. Like I said, we skipped over a couple of items that he was dealing with the feast days. Yahweh's holy feast and Yahweh's seasonal feast. And he says here on page 7, the Church of the Living God, we call it the Church of the Living Elohim, which is the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, is the only living church this side of 1844. Adventist Church was a living church with a prophet at the head of it, but it was not a purified living church. This is what we're after. When we say the Church of the Living Yahweh, Brother Johnson, if he had inspiration deep enough on this, he would have put the purified Church of the Living Elohim. Because that's what he's talking about here, and he thinks that it applies to him, or the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yeah, when he says the Church of the Living God, yeah, it applies to the Adventists. But when he says the purified Church of the Living Yahweh Elohim and Yahshua, you're talking about the everlasting kingdom of David that is set up in the 12th hour and is the 8th movement with a literal, physical, spiritual, inspired, a lineal bloodline descendant of David. Okay. And so Yahshua was called the son of David. But did you know me being a descendant of David, you might could classify me also as a son of David. But the fact that I play the antitypical literal role of the David himself might paint a different picture. But let's don't deal with that. Let's just keep on going now. As Brother Sancho started telling us about the Church of the Living God, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now the reason I'm using this pagan term, God, I want to paint this picture in your mind that Brother Johnson had apostatized from using the Yahweh's name that he invoked and restored in 1970. And by him apostatizing and going back to Baal's title, God is a title for Baal, it shows that Brother Johnson is a Baal worshiper. When he apostatized and he became a Baal worshiper, and he started using the name of Baal. He went back to using the name of Baal. So because of that, we're going to let it stick and let people that are following Gilead Center there in Africa, those that are still dedicated to following Brother Johnson and the Gilead Center, I want you to hear this message. Because if you're continuing on, then you're an idol worshiper and you're worshiping Baal. This is clear cut, evident. I'm continuing on now reading Brother Johnson, what he has to say. He said, this is clear cut evidence to show that the house of the Yahweh of the New Covenant is called the Church of the Living God. Okay. Now, what does this say? That this is clear-cut evidence to show that the house of God of the New Covenant is called the Church of the Living God. Alright. So I want to upgrade this. If I write an article on this, I will call it the Purified Church of the Living Yahweh. Okay, instead of the sanctuary, because the New Covenant sanctuary is in heaven, and the worshipers here on earth cannot approach it unto it physically. Okay. Now, that sanctuary in heaven is a purified sanctuary. It's perfectly 100% without sin at all. And so, I'm going to read to you now from Hebrews chapter 12. Starting verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Yahrushim, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now the only ones that heaven receives here on earth is the ones that can approach the ordained system of true worship here on earth, meeting with Yahshua at his appointed times at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. Those are the sacred hours of the day. Those that ask how you approach unto the city of the living Elohim and the heavenly Jerusalem. This is how you approach unto it here on earth, because you're on a sinful planet here. And you have sins yet in your carnal... You have carnal flesh, and we are still dealing with overcoming this carnal flesh. And so therefore, the earthly sanctuary, when you approach on it, first you have confession of sins, if you have any sin. And then you come at those hours, and you meet with the high priest Yahshua in the first apartment of the heavenly sanctuary. And this is how he communicates with you through your faith. Your faith and your confession is what connects you with Yahshua in the first apartment. This is what starts your sanctification here on earth, in your body. Okay. Now he says you're in Hebrews 12:23. He says you're called to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So this church of the firstborn here on earth is written in heaven. And to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And unto Yahshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the brother sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Okay. So now what are we learning? The Church of the Firstborn here on earth is connected with the church, the city of the living Elohim, and the heavenly Jerusalem. And he's up there working in that that city, in that temple. Yahshua, our high priest, our mediator between us here on earth and the Heavenly Father and heaven that sits on the judgment seat. Okay. In the King James Version, we have the word covenant mentioned 292 times. And it starts in Genesis 6:18 with Noah. He says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Okay, so now, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." Okay, so now after Noah and his seed, then came Abraham and his seed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then became Moses, and then Yahshua at the cross, and then you came with William Miller, First Day Adventist, 1833, that was the seed of Noah, and then you had the fourth group of laborers called the Adventists in 1844. Yahweh established his seed there with them. Okay, his covenant was established with them. And then it was established, the next one is established with the house of David in 2002. Now you think about that, folks. That's really narrowing it down. So he established an everlasting covenant with the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844. And the covenant, the everlasting covenant is progressive. The Adventist Church represents the Church of the Great Paradox, because there's so many things that have to be fulfilled during the 10th and 11th hour that she occupies. And so the everlasting covenant, though, is progressive. It progressed right through Ellen G. White, then it progressed through Jones and Wagner in 1888, 1890, and then with Taylor G. Bunch and M. L. Andreessen during the 20s until 1930. Then with V. T. Holliff in 1930. And then it progressed with Ben Roden in 1955-1970, and then Brother Johnson was renewed with Brother Johnson. The covenant was the everlasting covenant that was made with Ellen G. White was enduring for 158 years. And then when Brother Johnson's time was up, the everlasting covenant then was renewed with the house of David. Now, I want to read that to you there. And that's in Hebrews chapter 8. Now, it's called the New Covenant here that is renewed with the house of David. Now, let's look at this thing. "Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who sit on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Yahweh pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have some also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadows of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of Elohim when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed unto thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon the better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There's the 12 tribes put back together again, and the one stick in David's hand, and typical David's hand. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith Yahweh. So if you don't continue in his covenant, then he doesn't regard you. Brother Johnson discontinued the following of this covenant, and that's why he was cast aside in 2002. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after the day. Now, keep in mind, it says the house of Israel. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know thee, Yahweh, for all shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. Well, they're all going to have the covenant written upon their hearts. That's how they're going to everyone know, and they don't have to have somebody teach them and telling them what's right and what's wrong. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, but I will remember no more. And that he saith, the new covenant, he hath made the first old, not which decays and waxes old, is ready to vanish away. Okay. So the house of Israel followed the old covenant. The rebellious house of Israel followed the old covenant. From the time that Moses came out of Egypt, when Yahweh said he made the first covenant with our fathers, coming out of Egypt, 3,500 years ago. And so, now let's go read that Psalms 105, verse 8, 9, and 10 again. And let's learn something more. He has remembered his covenant forever. For the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Now, Jacob, when he overcame, wrestling with the angel on his way back to the land of Israel, to his father's house, he met with his brother. His brother intended to do him some harm, but Yahweh gave his brother a dream and told him, be nice to his brother Jacob. So they made up and they became friends after that. He said he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. You know how long this was confirmed to Jacob for a law? It was confirmed to Jacob for a law for, ever since Jacob was born, and he got the birthright and got it confirmed when he wrestled with the angel on his way back to the land of Canaan. All the way from that time up to 2002, that's how long the law of Jacob was confirmed. But when he wrestled with the angel, it showed that he got a name change to Israel. After he'd become 100% forgiven of all of his sins, and after he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, Jacob then got the new name Israel. So when I'm reading to you here in Hebrews 8, when it talks about that, in verse 10, he said, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Well, those days ended in 2002, and the house of Israel, the true house of Israel, is the house of David. And I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be them Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. Now those same laws was given to the house of Esau in 1970, Rosh Hashanah. And he restored all that. But you know what? Those laws was not written on our hearts. Because at the end of our sojourn of 33 years with this old covenant law, it did not sanctify us. Only after it's written on the heart will it sanctify you. So that's what we're dealing with here. I've always wondered, the Adventist Church is the spiritual Israel today. Only because they have the 144,000 to produce. That's what makes them spiritual. They have a spiritual work to do. And that is to bring forth the first fruits harvest, and that's 144,000. Okay. Okay, we're going to go back to our reading now on page 7 of Brother Johnson's track, The Church of God. He says here on page 7, thus you may ask, who is the living God? Jesus gave us a straightforward answer in John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Yahshua Messiah, whom thou hast sent. Now, I want to say this, though. Now, Rose Johnson's wife ordered a dozen of these here sacred name Bibles, and she had them for the people in the church that anybody want them. And she told everybody, she said, we've got to get back this sacred name. And that's the only reason why Rose Johnson started using it somewhat after his wife did that. That's when he started back using it again in the late 1990s. But he would use it interchangeably with God and Yahweh. And then he wouldn't spell Yahweh right. He spelled with a V instead of a W. And it just showed that it was him. It was him that was rebellious against that name. His wife wasn't. She saw the validity of this. His wife was a very smart person. She was a very devious person, but she was a very smart person. Okay, see, let's continue now. From this we see that the Father of Yahshua is the only true and living God. And God's house on earth today is called the Church of the Living God. That is, if it is following His laws and walking in His statutes, then it is the pillar and ground of the truth. But ye are come unto the Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Elohim the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews 12:22-23. I've already read that to you already. Okay. For this scripture points out that Elohim's house in heaven is also called the church. And the fact that Paul pointed the believers on earth to this church in heaven makes it evident that the church on earth and the church in heaven constitutes one church. This means that the church on earth would be under the same governmental system, the same law system, and the same worship system as the church in heaven, because it is the only means by which to promote and maintain unity, as Paul showed in Ephesians 4:3-6. Well, the fact that Gilead Center never did come into unity with each other, because it was the sheep and the goats represented there, two groups of cattle represented. And so this only has to apply then to the church that comes into unity, and that would be the house of David, the 144,000. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit. Even as you're calling one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. For the following facts are of the vital importance unto the Church of the Living Elohim, the Church of the Living God, he calls it, on earth today, we must search until we find that church, for it is not made up of a group of churches, but a body of believers in the one faith, one doctrine. I'm going to revert back, go ahead and use the sacred name. It goes against my grain to have to use those pagan names. But I want to show you that Brother Johnson never did graduate and never did overcome that, those pagan titles. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Elohim and a house not made with the hand, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, and not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. This truth comes across in no uncertain terms. The earthly house of Elohim, the sanctuary of the old covenant, was dissolved and done away with. And the only way that the new covenant believers can be clothed with the robe of righteousness is from the house of Elohim, our sanctuary in heaven. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Now keep in mind, the house of Israel was born in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, with the house of David being born, one and the same. And with the house of Judah, and David is definitely presiding over Judah, and as a lawgiver, Yahshua is there to make up the ensign that's in charge of that throne. It says, when the invisible king, Yahshua, the branch, meets with the visible king, his servant, David, then that is when they represent the ensign that Isaiah 11 talks about. Okay? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now, when I'm reading it, this is the covenant that he's going to make with the house of Israel after those days. What days? The days that the old covenant has run out. And the old covenant run out with Gilead Center in 2002. So now, that was those days. Those days is talking about the latter days. And I will make with the house of Israel after those latter days from 1844 to 2002, says Yahweh, I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 31:31-33. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So that new covenant he made with Elijah, the antipathy of Elijah, Malachi 4:5. And he said, for finding fault with them. Who did he find fault with? He found fault with the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Davidians. He found fault with all three of those groups, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Seventh-day Adventists, Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, and Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center. He said, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, that's the everlasting kingdom of David, and with the house of Judah. And he makes this new covenant with the house of David at the very time he sends his son to come and sit upon the throne of his earthly father David. That's when he makes this new covenant. Matter of fact, his son brings this covenant with him. And he establishes it with his underservant Elijah David. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Okay? I will put my laws in their minds, write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. Hebrews 8:10. Who else do you know that observes the daily, that knows why they're observing it, and wherever they may be, they remember. They remember the time of the daily, that this is a sacred hour of the day, and they need to come aside wherever they're at and observe that hour and worship at that hour. That shows the law is written upon their hearts when they do things like this. And they memorize it in their mind. Here we see that both Jeremiah and Paul made it plain that the church of the new covenant would be governed by Elohim's laws. My laws, parentheses, and not by a set of man-made rules and laws. Well, Brother Johnson sort of took a strong warning there, because he had slowly eroded this covenant that was renewed with him, and began to establish his own rules of law. For this church would be run by Elham's appointed leader and not a committee of men. For further study on this subject, please read Amos 3:7. Matthew 24:42 and 44-47. Revelation 7:1-4, Revelation 14:1-5, and Revelation 15:3, and Hebrews 8:1-5. And I've already read it, Hebrews 8:1-5. And Deuteronomy 8:1. According unto the word of Elohim unto Solomon at the dedication of his temple, 1 Kings 9:4-7. For the only ones whom Elohim will allow to stay in the promised land are those who walk in his statutes and keep his covenant, Revelation 15:3. Reveals that the song of Moses and the Lamb, which is the law of Moses, let's read that again. Revelation 15:3 reveals that the song of Moses and the Lamb, which represented Yahweh's laws that Moses wrote in a book, Deuteronomy 31:19-26, is renewed with the house of David as the everlasting covenant. That's the reason why Moses had to put that law of Yahweh in the side pocket, because he had to go with the ark all the way through to the end of time. He knew that the ark is going to come forth in the end time, and so that would be there then as a witness. And whoever represents the purified church, then that book of the law is going to be enjoined unto them here in the end time. That book of the law was not enjoined under the Adventist church from 1844-2002. Those three feeding pastors, that book of the law was never enjoined under them. Well, I say it wasn't. It was enjoined under Gilead Center, because she restored the sanctuary on the strength of the knowledge of that covenant, what was in that covenant. But we know the rest of the story on that. So it says, are the law of the Elohim, Nehemiah 8:1-8, is the law which governs the new covenant. These concrete facts makes us realize and know the truth. Thus we can understand why Yeshua said unto the woman at the well. Now, I'd like to point out here that in the Galatians they talk about, I think it's 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law, is that because of transgression. Now, that when it says the law, it's talking about the law of the Yahweh, and that's the whole law. That's the Ten Commandments, and that's the ceremonial laws of the sanctuary, all joined together. So when he says he renewed his covenant forever with his people, it means he renewed the whole law. He worshiped and know not what? Let's continue. We know what we worship. He's talking to the woman at the well. For the salvation is of the Jews. Now when you say Jews, you're talking about the house of Judah exclusively. Salvation was only coming out of the tribe of Judah. That's where it was bequeathed to. And so now, that's where the wells of water, of eternal life springs up from, is from Judah at Jerusalem. And the 10 tribes then have to come south and give up their idol worship, and the remnant has to come south and confess their sin to drink water from that wellspring, spring up in the eternal Allah from Jerusalem, with Yahshua representing that water that's springing up. So Jews is Judah, a Judahite, exclusively, John 4:22. Who would know better than Yahshua himself, being a Jew and following the Jewish religion? And why Paul says in Romans 3:1-2, what advantage then hath the Jew, or the house of David, or the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, or a Judahite? So what, let's read that again. For the Paul says in Romans 3:1-2, what advantage then hath the Judahite? What profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because under them were committed the oracles of Elohim. So it's up to the house of Judah. Certainly it has to be circumcised. Because you cannot have the oracles of Yahweh committed unto you unless you are circumcised. And I thought it was so strange that opportunity availed itself at Kermit, Texas, back then about 1986, when I had gone out on a missionary journey to the Adventist Church and recruited a doctor that came and joined us. He was a Filipino doctor. And then it just so happened that we had a registered nurse that also had joined Vertus Johnson. All these are medical people. And it just so happened that Vertus Johnson had the opportunity to buy the original hospital that was raised up there in Kermit, Texas. It had closed down. I believe it was a doctor owned it. And he had it for sale, and Vertus Johnson bought that hospital. So we had a doctor and a nurse, and I needed a circumcision. And so lo and behold, for less than $100, I got circumcised. And then Yahweh gave me a token of my circumcision, that it was for a spiritual reason, that within 1 hour after I was circumcised, I was divinely healed. I got my clothes on, went back to work. The two others that were circumcised with me had to spend a week in the hospital. They're in the hospital room with ice packs and pain medication. I spent that week that they out there working hard, selling watermelons and running produce, because Yahweh had healed me. All right, let's go on. Who would know better than Paul himself, being an apostolic Israelite? Brothers call him a Christian Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay. Romans 11:1. These oracles should not be strange to an Israelite today or to any Bible Christian, seeing that he handed them down from generation to generation to Adam, Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua. Now this is Joshua, the son of Nun, that succeeded Moses. But then we have another Joshua, son of Joseph, back in Zechariah 3, that represents the master prophet here in these last days of the antiquity Elijah David. Okay, all the prophets, Yeshua, Messiah, the apostles, the Jews, Paul, and myself. Now, Brother John said he was one of these elite prophets that was called. Now, let's read that again. These oracles should not be strange to an Israelite today. Remember I told you Brother Johnson was an Esau Edomite, even though he had a Hebrew father. He was not an Israelite today or to any Bible Christian, seeing that he handed them down from generation to generation Well, now, Boris Johnson did have it handed down to him, all right. He inherited it, all right, because of the promise of the firstborn, that he would be given the first opportunity to connect up with this everlasting covenant and continue it on in righteousness, because this is a pure covenant. You notice all these men that we're reading about, they were all purified, sanctified men that had this covenant renewed to them. Bruce is the only one. He included himself at the end here. He's the only one that wasn't born again. Paul had to be born again on the road to Damascus before he could have that covenant renewed with him. Okay. So he says, these oracles should not be strange to an Israelite today or to any Bible Christian, seeing that he handed them down from generation to generation to Adam, Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, all the prophets, Yeshua, Messiah, the apostles, the house of David, the Judaites, he calls them the Jews. He said Yeshua. Yeshua is the only one that represented the true Israel when he came to this earth. He's the only one that could be represent the true Israel. Okay, because he was without sin. Then he says, Paul and myself. Okay, well, Brother Johnson not being an Israelite, he doesn't know this. He thinks he's already sanctified and he fits into this craft. But we know better. Even though the covenant was enjoined unto him, it's like it was, like Moses enjoined it unto the children of Israel back there in Exodus 24:8. He said the blood of the covenant, that was sprinkled with the blood of the animal, he said he enjoined that unto the children of Israel, and he told them so. And, but yet they broke that covenant. Well, Brother Johnson had this covenant enjoined unto him in 1970, but he broke this covenant, like the Israelite nation did. For we are his workmanship, created in Yahshua Messiah under good works, which Elohim hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So who is this we? We are his workmanship. The house of Judah, house of David, in the 12th hour, the 8th movement. Okay. Which Elohim hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so you go read Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you can find out about these statutes in judgment, where it says, this is our righteousness, if we observe do all that he has commanded us, the statutes in judgment. Okay, it says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hand. At that time, you were without Yahshua, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. Ephesians 2:10-12. Here we see Paul opening up the plan of salvation unto the Gentiles through the apostolic Jewish church and for the fulfilling of the words of the Yahshua Messiah. Salvation is of the Jews. Paul made it plain to the Gentiles that without this plan and without them becoming a part of the commonwealth of Israel and being strangers to the covenants of promise, they were without Yahshua, without Elohim, and without hope in the new covenant world. This applied to Gilead sinners. It's a sad, sad situation. Because Brother Johnson had the plan, but he ended up with those Gentiles before they were converted to the apostolic movement. They were without hope. They were without the new covenant. And so they were without Yahweh and without Yahshua, and they were without hope in the world. That's what Gilead Center ended up with. They ended up empty-handed in 2002. They ended up without Yahshua, without hope, okay, in the new covenant world. Paul, the prophet of the Gentiles, is called to teach both Jews and Gentiles the gospel of the Elohim written in the Old Testament that in a new covenant sitting, in other words, he was to teach the plan of salvation through the new covenant sanctuary system. Well, since Yahshua renewed that covenant with the house of David 2002, this is what this is talking about. See Hebrews 8:1-5. It's talking about the 12th hour, Hebrews 8:1-5. Thus Paul was trying to show that Elohim had one plan of the salvation for both Jews, that's the house of Judah, and the Gentiles. And that you could no longer obtain salvation through the death of a sacrifice, but that you had to go through the new and living way, with Yahshua Messiah as a high priest, administering his own blood through the heavenly sanctuary system. Thus, through the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua Messiah, we obtain remission for and blotting out of our sins today, as is recorded in Hebrews 8:1-5, Hebrews 9:12-22, Hebrews 12:24, and 1 Peter 1:2. Well, the fact that the sanctuary system put in operation did not do its appointed work for Gilead's sinner, it brings me now to read to you Isaiah chapter 1. That made its fulfillment right there at Gilead's sinner, because they're now sanctifying, being sanctified through obedience to the ordained system of the true worship with the full restoration of the sanctuary. Now in Isaiah 1, starting in verse 1, says, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of the Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He's dealing with the sinful nation here. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Yahweh has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Okay, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. So Sister Fart was right when she said the Adventist Church is the spiritual Israel of today, but they were the ones that did not know. They did not consider what it means to be spiritual and to be holy and undefiled. She even told them that they were the holy city, represent the holy city. They didn't go and investigate what it constitutes to be identified as a holy city. Okay, verse 4, Isaiah 1. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Yahweh, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. In your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Now he's talking to Gilead's sinner here. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard. Who's the daughter of Zion? The house of David. Because the house of David is right there in the midst of that sinful nation, that sinful kingdom of Gilead. She was brought up in that sinful kingdom. That's where she was born. 1970. Right along with the house of Esau was born. The house of Jacob was born then too. As a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. So the house of David that was residing there at Gilead's center was like the daughter of Zion, left as a cottage in a vineyard. And as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Yahshua of the host had left unto us a very small remnant. That's the way she's offering of David, that the house of David represented. We should have been Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. If he didn't raise up antipical Elijah in the midst of them down there, them alone, by themselves, would have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear, and to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Now, who is he talking to? He's talking right here to the rulers of Sodom. And Ben Roden was the first ruler of Sodom, spiritual Israel, that represented the whisper of Sodom in our day. Because his wife embraced the doctrine of the female Holy Spirit, Lois Roden, and you know that's an abomination. It has to do with sexual deviance, one of the worst kind of sins, and Ben Roden endorsed that. So that's how I know that he was also a ruler of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what people is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Well, the Holy Spirit has impressed me that Ben Roden and his wife, Lois Roden, because that female Holy Spirit that they embraced and Ben Roden endorsed, it showed that he was a ruler of Sodom. But who was Gomorrah? Those that succeeded him, Gilead Center, represents Gomorrah. Ben Roden represents Sodom because sodomy means a man seducing man. It means homosexuality, for one thing. It just simply means man seducing man. And Gomorrah followed right in the footsteps of Sodom. Ben Roden represented Sodom, and Rollis Johnson represented Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? And Ben Roden offered sacrifice. He restored the sanctuary himself. Calls it the branch, Davidian, and he set up the daily with the emblems of the wine and the bread. And they practiced that for 10 years. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me? Says Yahweh. I am full of the burnt offerings of the rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goat. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my court? Now, Ben Roden came at the sacred hour, the third hour and the ninth hour of the day, with the emblems and the wine. He had the Yahshua's Passover twice a day for 365 days of the year. So what does it mean here? He says, you come to me with the burnt offerings and the rams. Well, that took the place of burnt offerings and the fat of fed beasts. Was that the emblems? Okay. So it says in verse 13, bring no more vain oblation, incense, and abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of the blood. Now he's commanding Gilead, Center, Antipical Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah together. Now, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Well, when I gave Brother Johnson that message, July 14, 2002, I said, repent. Get rid of your filthy garments. Call a crisis church meeting right today. Tell them what they have to do to get ready for the atonement. Get the sins blotted out. That's what I was just, in essence, telling him, a message from heaven. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. Learn to do well. See, he says, learn to do well now. When you put away the evil of your doings, now learn to do well. Who's going to teach you? Yahweh the Father and His Son. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith to Yahweh, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So he was telling Brother Johnson right then and there that day. He said, come now and let us reason together. If he'd have done that and sit down with me with the message from heaven, and they'd have done everything I instructed them to do, though their sins were the scarlet, they would be made white as snow that very day. Though they'd be red like crimson, they'd be like wool. Okay. And then it says in verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured of the sword, for the mouth of the Yahweh has spoken it. Then it goes on, how is a faithful city become an harlot? How is that holy city that Sister Christ says was the spiritual Israel of the day, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the holy city, how has it become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness, lost in it, but now murderers. Thy silver becomes dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and falleth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. This brings the close of our study. So our contact is at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Hark to the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, out from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the one mercy Yahshua, who'll go and help his shepherd kind, help him wandering ones to find, who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Yahshua. Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin.